Good morning. You know, I've never seen a group of people that have a stomach ache more often than you guys. I swear. You just, good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. I really admire Deacon Denny Goodall, and I admire him for numerous reasons. I admire him because he's a believer in Christ. I admire him because he's a deacon. I admire him as a man. Have we got some issues with the sound system? Feels like I'm hearing some. Are you guys hearing that? So that's me? That's awesome. All right, so I admire Deacon Denny as a deacon. I admire him as a man. I admire him as a husband. I admire him as a father. I admire his flaws. I admire his heart. And I especially admire his offering messages. And for those of you in the non-resident congregation, I can tell you that if you're fast-forwarding through his offering message, you're missing a treat every week, a great assessment of the things that we're learning and the application of it to giving. Now, I can remember one message specifically where he said for the first time, "I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church." And the comment snapped my head. What is he talking about, I thought? We aren't worldwide. Well, about a week later, Deacon Mark Pomeroy from Lighthouse Bible Church, the creator and tender of our website, sent me the analytics from Google, and it revealed that Barah Ministries does indeed get hits from all over the world. Now, early on, those hits were from me as I was making international trips. What a goofball. I said, "We got a hit from Malaysia, man." Oh, I was in Malaysia last week. Okay. So when I was traveling internationally, those hits early were checking in. When I was checking in on the Barah Ministry site to see how it played in international locations, but also to listen to some of my own lessons again. But last week, those hits came from Bogota, Colombia, from Suva, Fiji, from the Philippines, and from the Federated States of Micronesia, among other places. And I'll bet that'll send you scurrying to your map to see where that is. Barah Ministries is indeed a worldwide ministry, and on the surface of it, it certainly doesn't look like one. If you walk into Barah Ministries, poor people that come in to visit, they must look around and say, "Man, there are a lot of empty seats in this place. This must be a lousy place. Nobody wants to be here. This must be a horrible place." Well, last week, Deacon Denny's offering message snapped my head again and really commanded my attention. He said, "The sovereignty of God makes me so positive. Why would God have us in this little podunk church in podunk Mesa, Arizona? He has us right where he wants us. I have no doubt. God knows our glorious future. We have God the Father. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. They have us right where they want us." Why did that snap my head? Why is that so impressive? It's impressive because it is the expression of faith. Today's Bible lesson is the sovereign God has a response to your faith. I don't believe you had me, so let me repeat that. The sovereign God has a response to your faith. Deacon Denny was using his will to express his faith. In the absence of evidence, he is believing the promises of God. He is placing his confidence in God's ability to do what he says. God has a response to our faith, according to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. "Truly, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain," and this mountain is a reference to any obstacle, "you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." God's response to your faith is to move mountains on your behalf. What is faith? It's a choice to place your confidence in the object of your faith, in this case, the Godhead. It's you placing your confidence in what the Godhead is able to do for you. Faith is believing. I believe is the expression, the expenditure of faith. And Deacon Denny believes that Barah Ministries has a glorious future, as do I. And the people who don't bother me. They don't discourage me, and they don't discourage Deacon Denny. Faith is believing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we believers in Christ walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is expressed when you don't see it. What is it that you want that you aren't seeing? It requires faith. What is faith? I don't see it, but I sure believe it. I don't know where we're going to get our little podunk church in Podunk Mesa, Arizona, is going to get $3 million to fulfill our dream to have a facility like that. And once we get it, I don't know where the people are going to come from, because I'm not going to be going out on the street handing out brochures and inviting people in. Now, I'll figure out some way to invite them in. We'll all figure out some way to invite them in, but I don't know where they're going to come from. I don't. I don't know where the $3 million is going to come from. I don't know where the $250,000 a year is going to come from to run the facility. But I do know this. I'm not going to give it to us. That's what I know. And you're not going to give it to us because you don't have it. Because if you had it, you'd already written a check. Right? So it's going to come from somewhere. And I believe, and I don't have the slightest idea where that places that it's going to come from, but I have faith. And my faith is the absolute confidence that our God is good enough, able enough to do that. And when I see Barah Ministries numbers dwindling, I get more and more confidence that this will happen. Why? Because God doesn't need numbers. That's why. Because God loves taking situations like this and showing everybody who he is. That's why. I have faith. As believers in Christ, our lifestyle, our spiritual maturity is advanced by faith. And what that means is we have a part in God's plan on this earth. You know, I hear people saying it all the time. Lord willing, one of my buddies said that this week, and if he had been near me, I would have strangled him. Lord willing, he was working on a big deal, and, you know, he's wondering, oh, my God, I wonder if it's going to come in today. Lord willing. And I said, the Lord is willing. What are you talking about? Of course the Lord is willing. Of course the deal, God wants the deal to come in. And from what I understand, it was approved. So, and then now it's just a matter of getting some signatures on paperwork. It's a big deal. But of course the Lord is willing. God has a plan. We are so weak. We are so weak. Is that what we reduce God to? Three words. God has a plan. Now, I don't know what it is. Why don't you know what it is? Is he unclear? He's not unclear. So why don't you know what God's plan is? I know what his plan is. I don't just know what his plan is for Christians. I know what his plan is for me. I can see his hand moving in every circumstance that I'm in. Do you? And if you don't, what are you looking at? I'll tell you what you're looking at. Doubt. D-O-U-B-T. B is silent. Doubt. Because if you aren't looking at faith, you're looking at doubt. All right, the opposite of faith is doubt. And what is doubt? Doubt's unbelief. You're saying, when you doubt, you're saying, I'm a Christian. I'm in union with Christ. I am a saint. I am a priest. I am expiated. I am atoned for. I am redeemed. I am reconciliated. I'm justified. But I don't think God can come through for me. Just saying it is so ridiculous that you don't have any other option but to laugh when you say it. But see, God has a response to your faith, but God also has a response to your doubt. And James talks about it. James, the practical one, James, the tactician, in chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Here's what he says. If any of you lacks wisdom, first-class condition if in the Greek, and of course all of you do. That's James. He's always punching people in the face. If any of you lacks wisdom, and many of you do, let him ask of God the Father, who gives wisdom to all generously and without reproach, and wisdom will be given to him. If you don't know what to do, what's your choice? If you do what humans like to do, you go figure it out. If you do what a Christian does, he goes to God and says, you know what, God? I don't have the slightest idea where we're going to get this $3 million from. I don't. And you know what? I don't even care where we can get it from, to be frank. If I just have to be frank, I'm feeling kind of lazy today. Amen? And so get off your butt. I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace. Get off your butt if you have one. And do this for us. And God responds to that faith. I have faith that you can do it, God. I know you can do it. I wonder if he can do it. I know you can do it. I don't doubt. James 1:6. But you must ask for what you want in faith, without any doubting. And that is single-mindedness. I have faith, and therefore I have no doubt. Single-mindedness. No plan B. Because the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven horizontally. Have you ever seen horizontal rain? That's horrible. And tossed vertically by the wind. That's what it's like when you're in the waves, up and down, sideways and back and forth, like you're in a washing machine. James 1:7. For the one doubting ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord. That's why you don't have what you want. You ought not expect anything from the Lord when you are doubting. James 1:8. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Our God is a giving God. And he wills to provide. Do you invest your faith in him? Do you place your fate in his hands? Or are you a do-it-yourself Christian? Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, the Greek of the New Testament describes a double-minded person as a staggering drunk. Someone counting on himself for balance and not counting on God for balance. Amen? Amen. Have you ever done it? Say amen. Amen. You haven't done it? You guys are perfect. Say amen. Amen. All right. He just mouthed the words. I didn't hear any noise coming out of there. Can I hear an amen from you, hat man? he's practicing mime. We've all done it. We've all been staggering drunks. Well, in today's lesson, we're going to learn how the doubt and unbelief of the Jewish race has them in the predicament that they're in, hardened and scattered. Because God has a response to unbelief, too. And what is it? He hardens you. And what that really means is he allows you to be hardened by your choice, so that you can come back to him. And maybe, just maybe, doubt is the thing that keeps you in a rut. Welcome to a place where you can learn how God responds to faith, and how God responds to doubt, and how God responds to belief, and how God responds to unbelief. And Deacon Denny, thank you for your faith, and welcome to a place where you can study the Word of God. Our opening song to get your souls ready to turn from the world to God, a God who is always caring for us and giving us rest, we'll listen to a song called Forever by Carrie Joby.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
I believe that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will place his feet here on the earth. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for always responding to our faith with mercy and compassion and deliverance. Help us to trust and not to doubt. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. A few announcements. The first is mark your calendars, deacons. We have a meeting next week from 7:30 to 9, and we're going to get the beginning of our invitations developed so that we can start inviting people to Barah Ministries. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is November 13th. That's next week. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching November 20th and December 4th. December 25th and January 1st, we are going to post a lesson on November 20th. We're going to record it at 6 o'clock p.m. on November 17th. If you'd like to be here live for that, it'll be the lesson from the New York, Pennsylvania Conference. Prayers, please, for people who are asking for intercession and petition on the Barah Ministries prayer request group, especially prayer for those who are battling cancer. Happy birthday to Deacon Denny Goodall, November 6th. How come you don't do that when he goes up for the offering? I mean, I think his birthday is great, but now you're going to give the woof, woof for his birthday, but not the offering. I'd like to see some woof, woof for the offering. You know what I mean? A little coin, a little cash. A little encouragement for my man when he's getting up here begging. Happy birthday, Denny. You are 40. The big 4-0. That's awesome. And you have 60 to go. It's a long time. It's a long time. So happy birthday. Also, happy birthday to our good friend Janice Perry West out in BFE, also known as Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is not really BFE. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is a great place. But her birthday will be coming up on November 10th, 4 days from now. So happy birthday, Janice. You have the best foot massages in the whole wide world. Today's Bible lesson, the Sovereign God has a response to your faith. There are two responses that he has. He has a response to your faith and a response to your doubt. Now, we're studying Romans chapter 9, the second passage. And the backdrop of this passage is God's sovereignty. And why this subject ever came up about faith and doubting is because of God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty is something that you really have to get your head wrapped around in more than just a surface way. Because if you don't, you'll be sucked in by the Calvinists who believe, well, God predestined some people to heaven, and he predestined some people to hell. And he elected some people to heaven, and he elected some people to hell. And to John Calvin, I say, hey, God bless you wherever you are. If you're in heaven or you're in hell, God bless you wherever you are. But I'll tell you this, you missed a very simple thing. All. You missed a very simple thing. Whosoever. Now, how is it that God could say, how is it that John 3:16 could say, God the Father loved the world unconditionally, and he loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes, if whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life, then how could it be that he predestined some to heaven and some to hell? Cannot be. Otherwise, he's lying about John 3:16. He says, all of you, come to me, all of you who are burdened and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you, all and whosoever, completely, two words, knock Calvinism right out of the box. And so if you aren't clear on the matter of all and whosoever, you'll get tripped up by sovereignty, and you'll think, you know, as we go through this passage and the next one, you'll think, yeah, you know what? God was. He's a puppeteer, man. He's just sitting back there, and he's sadistically picking the people that are cool and sending a whole bunch of other people to hell. Well, you know what? If that's the case, why would he pick me? Why would he pick me? Because I'm not cool. There's nothing wonderful about me. Why would he pick Paul, the worst person of all time? Huh? Why would he pick Moses? Moses was a goofball. Moses was constantly going to God and saying, why are you always putting me up front, man? Send somebody else. Yeah, shut up and get up front. How about Gideon? I don't want to go to war. Okay, I'll go to war. I don't want to go to war. But why don't you give me 18 signs before I go to war? You know, these are the people that are Christians. He's going to pick all those weak people? Because I tell you what, if I'm orchestrating a team, I'm going to bring some people to heaven and some people to hell. The last group of people that I'm going to bring is Paul, Moses, Gideon, and Rory Clark, Pastor Rory Clark. Now, June, she would be a great person on that other team, you know, because she loves red, right? So she'd be perfect for that team, right? Woof, 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 woof. And John Miller's sitting there right now. Oh, God, he's picking on her again. I am not John. I'm just having fun at her expense. I'm not picking on her. So the backdrop is sovereignty. And, you know, quite frankly, I had to get my head wrapped around it. What is it? You know, God, before any of us got here, laid out a path. This is the game. And then he communicated that game to us. And he said, you want to play or not? That's up to you. If you want to play, express your faith. If you don't want to play, express your unbelief. That's such an easy game. And all of us started off on the unbelief path. All of us, if it's a bowling alley, we all started out in the gutter. But he had this gravitational pull back to the lane, inviting us, called the gospel message, inviting us back onto the lane. There was nothing worthy in us who are in the gutter to get us back to the lane. We didn't will ourselves back to the lane. He did all this stuff before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he can. Because it's his game. And he knew, as he was creating the earth and the universe and deciding who the souls were that he was going to bring here, he knew what your choice would be, but your choice did not affect his game. It didn't. That's what sovereignty means. And so if you really think about it, it's easy to get your head wrapped around it. Well, let's hear the passage that we're studying, because we're studying the second passage. God is able to do all he wills. Sovereignty. If creatures don't respond to God's will, that's not God's fault. Even though we love blaming God for everything. Here's what it says. Chapter 9, passage 2, Romans 9, 6. To Romans 9:13, it is not as though the word of God has failed, simply because unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah. For they are not all Israel. They are not all spiritual Jews in the eyes of God who are descended from Israel as racial Jews. Romans 9:7, nor are they all children of God in God's eyes, simply because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, a believer in Christ, your descendants will be named. Romans 9:8. That is, it is not the children, the born-again ones of the flesh, Ishmael's seed, who are children of God. These are not the ones he called. But it is the children, the born ones of the promise, Abraham's seed, the born ones of God that are regarded by God as descendants of Abraham. Romans 9:9, for this is the word of promise made by God to Abram and Sarai. This time next year I will come and Sarah will have a son. Romans 9:10, and not only this, but there was Rebekah also when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. Romans 9:11, for though the twins were not even born yet and had not done anything good or bad, not of works lest anyone should boast, so that God's purpose, according to his sovereign choice, would stand, not because of works, but because of God the Father who calls by sovereign right, it's his game. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. And Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. In sovereignty, God selected a nation, Israel. God selected a people, the Jews. God selected leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Ishmael and Esau. And his agency, they were his agency to spread the gospel message throughout the world. And he made promises to them. He gave them his word. And it is easy for him to give his word because God has always been able to do whatever he wants. Why? It's because the sovereign God does not answer to anyone. He created everything, he created everyone, and it is God's right as the source of everything to do exactly as he wills. And God offers you, as church-age believers in Christ, the recipients of the source, the same things. He offers himself, he offers you leaders, pastors, and teachers, and he gives you promises. He makes you clear on the rules of the game. Why? Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says it. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. All, whosoever, God is not partial to anyone. God does not play favorites. But if he did, his favorite is whom? Everybody, whosoever, all. You know, one of my kids used to always say, you like the other one better. I do. I like the other one better. Well, why is that? Because he does exactly what I'm asking him to do. You want to be my favorite? Do the same thing, and I'll have two favorites. God's that way, too. God's favorites are the ones who express faith. And how many of those favorites are there? All that express faith. All that put their confidence in him. Why wouldn't you put your confidence in somebody who can do what you can't? You know what? I can paint. but I hire painters. All right? But if I couldn't paint and I wanted my wall painted, I hire God. Because there's nothing God can't do. Amen? June's trying to figure out, well, how would I get God to paint that raggedy apartment that I live in? I mean, like, how exactly would that work? Yeah, do you have to pay or what is it? Don't think on it too long. Romans 2:11, there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with God. You're God's favorite every time you express faith in him. Do you want to be his favorite? Huh? Do you? No. You want to do it yourself. You cafeteria Christians, you want to pick and choose the stuff you like and stay away from the rest. You ain't got time for God. You're busy. You're busy. You ain't got time to sit down and just, you know, take to put your feet up, or take all the cares of life and get them out of your system and just be there for God. See, that's what the Broad Ministries people are. That's what we are. We are. We're not interested in getting up and singing. June sings. She's got the gift. Get up there, will you? I'm not going to stand up and clap my hands. I don't have any rhythm. You know, we made the mistake one time of trying to get people in Broad Ministries to sing. You know, they're just, we don't do that. But you know what we do? We sit here and we listen to the word and we soak it in and we look to spread it and we look to bring people to Christ, and there aren't that many of us. That's all right. I have faith. I have faith that this small group will be an infection that will turn the world upside down. And those of you who are doubters, I want you to be here when that happens. All the people who left here and who said, oh, Brown Ministries is never going to grow. I can't wait to make it a point to go look in their face and say, hey, why don't you come over to Barah? We got this $3 million building. We got about 25 people a weekend coming into it. Why don't you come on over and see how it wasn't going to grow? Because what were they saying? They think they were doubting me. No, they weren't doubting me. They were doubting the sovereign God of the universe. They're saying he can't get it done. And I reject their thoughts. I don't believe them. I think he can get anything done. And I'm glad they're not here. I'm glad they're someplace else in their little Candyland church sitting in the back and with nobody knowing them. I love that because that's not us. That's not who we're going to be as Barah Ministries. We're not going to be sitting around waiting for God to drop a worm in our mouths. We're going to respond to the word of God with faith. And that faith is going to show up in our lives. And it's going to show up this way. It's going to show up like we're spoiled brats. That everything we want, we go to our father and he say, hey, can you write a check? You were just here last week for a check. Yeah, I know, but you got what did that verse say? You got all the cows on 1,000 hills or whatever it said. Come on. If you got cows, you got checks. Write me another one. And we're going to just keep going back to our father and keep going back to our father. And our day ought to start that way. No, our day starts with the shower. Oh, man, the hot water, man. I can't wait to get in the hot water. Ooh, I can't wait to look and see if it melted off overnight, our pot bellies. No, it didn't melt off overnight. But how about instead if we go to him and say, I don't know what you have in store for me today, but I'm ready to take on any challenges that you have for me. And, oh, by the way, here are the checks I need you to write. I mean, Lila is great at that. You know, she is. I'm getting ready to go out of town. I ain't thinking about nothing but packing my clothes and getting all the clothes in the car, and I got 500 things going. And she's saying, can you write a check? Yeah, I've been here like 3 days. Why didn't you ask me 3 days ago? Because I need it now. You know, she goes boldly before the checkbook. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, that's what we need to do with God. We need to go boldly before him and ask him for what we want because he wants us to have everything. Well, what is one of the promises that a sovereign God makes to you? Matthew 21:21 says, and Jesus answered and said to his disciples, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done for the fig tree, which is to make it wither. The Lord saw a fig tree that wasn't blossoming when it should be, and he just made it wither. He made it go away. You'll do that. But even if you say to that mountain over there, be taken up and cast into the sea, it'll happen. The mountain, any obstacle. In other words, God... I think I went too far in my thing. Matthew 21:22, and all the things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I certainly didn't want to miss that. And I capitalized the key word to that. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing as if you already have it. Expressing the faith, I don't even know why I'm asking you for this, God, because I didn't even have to say it out loud because you knew what I wanted. All I have to add is, I believe that you can and will do anything I want. Have you ever had a friend like that? A friend who, whenever you ask them something, they do exactly what you ask for, just like that, no questions asked. Have you ever had a friend like that? See, God says, you ain't never had a friend like me. Because he wants to do everything and anything. And if we don't have, it's probably a believing issue, faith. So if you're asking and you're not receiving, what's the issue? Faith. Because God responds to your faith in a way that moves mountains. On the other hand, God responds to your doubt by giving you over to yourself. God gave them over. Those four words you never want associated with you. If you don't want his power, what does he say? Well, use your own. It's true for unbelievers. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, even though unbelievers knew there is a God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations about God, and their foolish heart was darkened. I've been following some strands on Facebook. And the strands are all about, you know, they're about simple things like, can you lose your salvation? And to sit and read what Christians think about that is absolutely a pathetic experience. Where Christians actually believe that an omnipotent God who has all the power, who places you into union with his son forever, would allow you to lose your salvation. Where did that come from? It came right from the pit of hell. It came from God's enemy, Satan. He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. It came from him, and we believe it, because we don't have faith in our God, that in his ability to save us once and for all time, just like the aorist tense says in the Greek. One salvation that lasts forever. We don't believe that. God's not that strong. That's what the God of Roman Catholicism, the Jesus Christ of Roman Catholicism, almost got salvation accomplished. And every day, the priest has to continue to help God accomplish salvation. What is a priest going to do? What is a priest going to do? He's going to take some nasty-tasting wafer and some wine and allegedly transfigure it into the body and blood of Christ? That's blasphemy. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, straight from Satan. That never has happened. It never will happen. They don't have that kind of power. They don't have the power to save anybody or anything ever. They never will. Yet there are 1.2 billion people putting their faith in that crap. You know why? Because that crap is easy to believe, because it's scary. If you don't believe, if you leave the Catholic Church, you're going to hell. No, you won't. If you leave the Roman Catholic Church, that'll be the best day of your life. It was the best day of mine. In other words, God will allow your heart to be darkened when you doubt. What does Romans 1:21 say one more time? Even though unbelievers knew there is a God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations about God, and their foolish heart was darkened. God allows, it is always expressed in the Bible, God hardened their hearts. God allowed their hearts to be hardened because they were off on their own. And it's true for believers in Christ as well, not just unbelievers, because believers doubt too. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 16 say this: when the disciples came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, and falling on his knees, before Jesus and saying, Matthew 17:15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and very ill, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I have a daughter who's like that. Thank you, Andy. Matthew. They laughed, Andy. It wasn't cricket. Matthew 17:16. I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Matthew 17:19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and says, why couldn't we drive the demon out? Matthew 17:20, and the Lord said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. In other words, because you doubted. See, God gives mercy and compassion and deliverance in response to faith, and God allows a hardening in response to unbelief. That is the sovereign God's response to unbelief. Hardening. He turns you over to yourself. He turns you over to your own plan, and your plan won't work. What do you think about that? How does it apply to your life? Well, let's take a quick music break, and while we're out there, will you think about that? When we come back, we'll learn more about faith and doubt. The music break song is Every Man by Casting Crown.
Toys and playing games. I am the one who pours your coffee, corner booth each Saturday. I am your daughter's favorite teacher. I'm the leader of the band. I sit behind you in the bleachers. I am every man. I'm the coach of every winning team, and still a loser in my mind. I am soldier in the airport, facing giants one more time. I am the woman shamed and haunted by the cry of unborn life. I'm every broken man, nervous child, lonely wife. Is there hope for every man? A solid place where we can stay? There is hope for every man, a solid place where we can stand. In this dry and weary land, there is hope for every man. There is love and never dies. There is peace in trouble times. When we help them understand, Jesus is hope for every man.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, the Sovereign God has a response to your faith. And he has a response to your unbelief as well. Romans chapter 9, verse 6, it is not as though the word of God has failed simply because the unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah. That's unbelief. For they're not all Israel, they're not all spiritual Jews in the eyes of God who are descended from Israel as racial Jews. Nor are they all children of God in God's eyes simply because they're Abraham's descendants, Rachel Jews? But through Isaac, a believer in Christ, your descendants will be named. Why? Because God is sovereign. He has a choice. He can do anything he wants. Romans 9:8, that is, it is not the children, the born ones of the flesh, Ishmael's seed, who are children of God, but it is the children, the born again ones of the promise, Abraham's seed, that are regarded by God as descendants of Abraham. Romans 9:9, for this is the word of promise made by God to Abram and Sarai. At this time next year I will come and Sarah will have a son. Romans 9:10, and not only this, but there was Rebekah also when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. Romans 9:11, for though the twins were not yet born and had not yet done anything good or bad, so that God's sovereign purpose according to his sovereign choice would stand, not because of works, because of God the Father, who calls by sovereign right. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. We'll see what that means in the next lesson. Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. God has a sovereign right to choose how he responds to faith, and a sovereign right to choose how he responds to unbelief. God gives mercy in response to faith, mercy, compassion, and deliverance. And God allows a hardening in response to unbelief. He turns us over to our own power and our own devices. And if you don't have what you want, maybe it's because of the littleness of your faith. Now, how big does your faith have to be? About as big as a mustard seed, which is just a little bigger than the head of a pin. Luke chapter 17, verse 6 says this, the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Trying to get a mulberry bush out of the ground is a hard task, but faith can move a mulberry bush. Mark chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 say this, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it's smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. That's what we ought to have on our website under our picture, deacons. We ought to have those two verses because that's exactly a description of Barah Ministries. We're the smallest of congregations. Right now, all over the Valley of the Sun, there are these big mega churches meeting with 2,500 people, flocking in, and feeling good about flocking in because there are numbers there. Oh, and they've got the divorced ministry, and they've got I don't even want to start talking about the ministries. They've got every ministry under the sun, right? And people go there because they want to be entertained. But you ask them a simple question like, can you lose your salvation? and they go there every week and every Wednesday, and you ask them a simple question, you know, how do you get to heaven? And they can't answer it. Christians. If you can't answer those two questions, you should be kicked out of Christianity, in my opinion. And luckily, my opinion in $2.25 will get you a cup of Starbucks coffee. My opinion doesn't matter. God is not going to kick you out of Christianity. He's not going to kick you out of union with himself. But seriously, what do you do when you're going through your day-to-day if you don't have the word at the tip of your tongue? Oh, I don't memorize verses. Okay, good. Well, then you depend on your own thoughts then when things aren't going your way. How's that working out? Because I don't depend on my own thoughts, because my own thoughts are goofy. But I depend on this. For, you know, I'm mad at somebody, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the mark for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How do I get to heaven? You know, Satan plants a seed in my head. You're not really a Christian. Christians wouldn't sin. I mean, you're just taking advantage of God's grace. And then all of a sudden I say, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. Rory, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I do. What do you believe? I believe he was born of a virgin, just like he said he would be. I think he lived 33 years of impeccable life, never sinning, even though he had every opportunity to, every time, even though he was tempted far beyond what we have been tempted, yet without sin. I believe that he allowed himself to be taken to a cross. I think he allowed himself to be hung on that cross. He laid down his own life so that he could voluntarily take it up again. He stayed in a grave for 3 days and then rose again on the third day from the dead, just like he predicted. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, that he shed his blood on that cross for me personally with my name in his mind and all my sins in his mind when he did it. And because of that, and because I have done the weakest thing that I could possibly do, which is express my faith in him, I'm saved once and for all time and can never lose it. And I'm going to be absent from this body and face to face with him forever in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. A place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything I could ever ask or think. Any other questions? Amen? And that's your experience too. How can you be depressed when you know that? What is it that is here on this earth that is so significant compared to that? There's nothing. There's nothing. You can say it. You don't have to hold back. Amen. Cindy Christensen, how you doing today? Thank you for coming down here from Spokane and joining us. Thank you. And hi to Harold. That's my favorite cousin's name is Harold. So every time I hear Harold's name, I get a little bit excited. See, God responds to a mustard seed size of faith. You have to have big faith. And what does he do with that mustard seed size of faith? Luke 1:37, nothing will be impossible with God. With God, you don't have to supersize your faith, add a big Coke and some big fries. You just have to have a little mustard seed. Do you believe that? I'm asking you. Do you believe that? Yeah. All right. Well, then there you have it. Faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace, you believers in Christ have been saved through faith. And that grace and that faith and that salvation is not from the source of yourselves. All of those are gifts from God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. God will not let your works be successful ever, because then it would be you doing it. He won't let that happen. Ask him and get out of his way. God gives us a gift called faith, and he allows us to spend it. He wants us to spend it with him. And people who understand this, first, spend their faith for salvation. Then second, spend their faith for everything else. We come to earth physically alive and spiritually dead, and if you choose, You can use your faith this way. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. And you can spend your gift of faith from God for your own salvation then. And then when you direct your faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross on your behalf, a cross that he bore to save you, blood he shed to save you, God responds to your use of will by giving you a so great salvation. The same thing is true once you're saved, though. And this is what Christians have to get. Because most Christians, after they get salvation, they let out a big sigh. I'm saved, right? All right, thanks, God. I'll take over from here. I got this. No, you don't. God's not going to let that happen. God responds to your use of faith once you're saved, too, to give you everything else. If he gave the hard thing, his son, he'll give you everything. The job you want, the car you want, the apartment you want, the money you want, the person in your life that you want. What do you want? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. What then shall we believers in Christ say when we're face to face with all these things? In Romans chapter 1 to 8. If God the Father is for us, and of course he is, who is successful against us? Nobody. Why? Because God the Father, who didn't spare his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead gave him up as a substitute for the benefit of us all. Sorry, Mr. Calvin. How will the Father not also, now that we're in union with Christ, freely give us the all things? Freely, voluntarily give us everything we want. Just ask. What is required of you for God's response, for God's positive response? Faith. What is that? Father, I believe that you can give me this. I want it. And I want it now. Now, let's connect this back to the Jewish race. In sovereignty, God elected a nation, Israel, a people, the Jews, the leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By the way, not men of exemplary character. If Abraham did what he did today instead of back then, it would be on the news, and we'd be talking about it for years. Jerry Springer, and nobody would ever let him forget it. Seriously? Dog. Seriously? You did it with the maid? And your wife told you it was okay? What kind of kinky person is she? Wow. And they'd be bringing it up to him every day. Remember Abraham last year at this time on Facebook? Remember what you were doing 2 years ago? Remember when you were doing the maid, Abraham? Ah, is this ever going to go away? Sorry, I have to get this. It'll never go away. But he blessed the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because it was his sovereign right to do so. He did not bless the line of Ishmael and Esau because it was his sovereign right not to do that. He honored the choices made by the line and faith even before they were born, before they did one thing. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. That's not the verse I wanted, actually. It was the verse about before they were even born, but I pulled the wrong verse, so that's my fault. Now, get this into your thick skulls, people. Are your skulls thick, people? Are you feeling like your skulls are thick, people? You know, because I'm feeling like they are. I mean, I'm up here giving a pep talk to you every week about yourselves. I think that's what's so strange about my life. You know, in my professional life and in my pastor life, I'm always giving people a pep talk about themselves. Do you understand who you are? I just want to shake you sometime. Get this through your thick skulls. People don't have faith after God has mercy on them. See? That's sight. That's not how we do it. That's sight. Of course I'd have... Today I came in, there's this big card that came to the Barat Ministries mailbox from one of my buddies. He wants to invite me to a basketball game, see Northwestern play down at Indiana University, and that was really cool, right? But, you know, I looked at it. Before I looked at who it was from, I said, you know what, that could be the $3 million check. Maybe. I got to look in there. But, you know, if I got the $3 million check, what faith do I need? I just need the faith. I got to just see if it clears. Right? Because you remember Maureen, who used to come to Broad Ministries? Maureen brought me a $1 million check one day. She gave it to me. I looked at it, I almost passed out. She said, yeah, I don't have the funds for that. But if I had it, I swear I would give it to you. And I know she would. I know she would have done that. That was so sweet. I love that sentiment. But if I had that check, I don't need any faith. I need faith when I don't see it. See, I've never met Jesus Christ personally. I haven't. But I have complete faith that he is who he says he is and he does exist and that he is sitting down somewhere. And I can't wait to meet him. Faith. I don't need any proof. I'll get my proof, but I have faith in that which I don't see. So, what do I want you to get in your thick heads? People don't have unbelief because God hardened them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we believers in Christ walk by faith and not by sight. We have faith as a gift. And we can choose to use it for our own benefit. Do you? Do you? I used to be a basketball coach. And I always had some players who, when they get on the court, start doubting themselves. And I'd call timeout. And I'd look at them and I'd say, you know what? Yes, coach. Doubt yourself anytime you want to, just not on my basketball court. Doubt yourself at home. Go out there and shoot that ball in that kid's face. Yeah. I should still be a basketball coach, man. It's so much more fun than being a pastor, I swear. It's so much. You have wins and losses, you know what I mean? And I don't like losing. I don't ever lose. Always win. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I don't like losing. I always win because God loves me. So doubt anything you want. No, he does. June, he does. He loves me. I get up in the morning and I just say, here I am, man. And he says, aw. Pastor Rory, how are you, man? What are you about to do? Yeah, it's 3:30. 3:30 a.m. on Sunday. I'm here again another Sunday. I'd certainly be right back there, rather be back there where my wife is, snoring it up. Sawing some logs, but I'm here reporting for duty. Let's get a lesson written. Tell me what to write. Tell me what message you want to send to these people, and I'll write it. Yep, reporting for duty. I'd rather be sitting around all Saturday watching football. Yeah? But I ain't got no time for that. I got lessons to write. I got stuff to study. Because I have faith in my God. I don't have any doubt. Those days are over for me. How about you? Doubt anything you want, just not God. Well, God wants you, and we close this lesson by inviting you to make the most important decision of your life, like the jailer did who had Paul and Silas in prison. And when the jail started shaking and the chains fell off the doors and Paul and Silas had a chance to walk out and get this guy killed, they decided to stay. They told him, don't be afraid, we aren't going anywhere. And the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. And they went over to his house that very day and had a little party, and his whole family was saved. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, the imputation of absolute righteousness by God to your account. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in a so great salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But instead, he is patient towards you unbelievers and does not wish for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but he wishes for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And when you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you know what will happen to your soul? It will be well with your soul. Right, June?
Amen, brother.
Amen, sister. Tell them about it.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of faith and help us to expend it in you. Help us to know in our souls that whenever we have something that we need, that you're willing to give us the desires of our hearts and give us the encouragement to always come and ask. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.